Turn to Acts chapter 25. Acts 25. Festus, therefore, having arrived in the province, 3 days later, went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the leading men of the Jews brought charges against Paul, and they were urging him, requesting a concession against Paul, that he might have him brought to Jerusalem, at the same time setting an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus then answered that Paul was being kept in custody at Caesarea, and that he himself was about to leave shortly. Therefore, he said, let the influential men among you go there with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them prosecute him. And after he had spent not more than 8 or 10 days among them, he went down to Caesarea, and on the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. And after he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him, which they could not prove. While Paul said in his own defense, I have committed no offense either against the law or the Jews, or against the temple, or against Caesar. But Festus, wishing the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges? But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then when Festus had conferred with his council, he answered, you have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go. Now, when several days had elapsed, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and paid their respects to Festus. And while they were spending many days there, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix. And when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews brought charges against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation upon him. And I answered them that it is not the custom of the Romans to hand over any man before the accused meets his accusers face to face and has an opportunity to make his defense against the charges. And so after they had assembled here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat in the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought. And when the accusers stood up, they began bringing charges against him, not of such crimes as I was expecting, but they simply had some points of disagreement with him about their own religion and about a certain dead man, Jesus, whom Paul asserted to be alive. And being at a loss of how to investigate such matters, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there stand trial on these matters. But when Paul appealed to be held in custody for the emperor's decision, I ordered him to be kept in custody until I sent him to Caesar. And Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. And so on the next day, when Agrippa had come together with Bernice amid great pomp and had entered the auditorium accompanied by the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all you gentlemen here present with us, you behold this man about whom all the people of the Jews appeal to me, both at Jerusalem and here, loudly declaring that he ought not to live any longer. But I found out that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and then since he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. Yet I have nothing definite about him to write to my lord. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that all the investigation has taken place, and I may have something to write. For it seems absurd to me in sending a prisoner not to indicate also the charges against him. Amen. Again, chapter 25 is continuing on with you know, his imprisonment. He's spent already 2 years in, not necessarily in prison, but more like in house arrest. And you know, he's allowed to come and go as he pleases, not too freely. But also part of this too is that his friends are allowed to come and minister to him throughout this time. And so, you know, while he was under Felix, this was kind of the situation. Now he comes under Festus. And Festus, before he goes down to the place where he's planning to go, you know, he spends some time with the Jewish leaders, and you know, and the continuous story goes on. You know, I'll be honest with you guys. You know, for the life of me, I don't understand why this is so in depth, right? You know, I talked about yesterday that in this, you know, and there's a lot of holes in the Book of Acts. You know, there's a lot of really significant events that Luke just kind of glosses over. You know, like, you know, for me as a pastor, actually as a church leader, I would love to know how they came up with the elders. You know, which I feel like this would be very, very, prominent, you know, for churches today, right? I mean, how did the council, you know, in Jerusalem come about? You know, how did this whole thing, how did James, you know, come into power, you know, in such a short period of time? I mean, I would like to know these things, but instead, you know, we're brought forth with these very, very, elaborate discussions that are going on, you know. And so now he's before Festus, and you know, he appeals to Caesar. So now he's going to go to Rome. Remember, in a couple chapters before, Jesus stood next to Paul, right? Stood aside of him, and he said, you know, you're going to testify in Jerusalem, right? And then you're, now you're going to go testify in Rome. And notice, you know, in this process, look at who he's testifying in front of. You know, and I feel like this is part of Luke's intent, right? You know, God sets apart, you know, Paul for this season, and who is he speaking to? You know, who is he continually giving his defense in front of, right? It's not just the political elite. You know, in other words, it's not just the governors, and now, you know, in the next chapter, he'll be before a king. Right, but he's also, you know, speaking before all the prominent men in the city. I mean, these are like, you know, a gathering of who's who, you know, in these cities. And Paul has the opportunity to share, you know, which goes to speak to us about certain aspects of God's character, right, and kind of the way God does things. You know, it would seem like, you know, when Paul is in the height of his success. You know what I mean? When Paul is like incredibly successful, you know, scholarly, you know, and all these things, it would seem like that would be the opportunity by which Paul should speak to the elite of the city. You know, but God, he didn't operate like that, right? Do you remember when we talk about during Christmas when Jesus is born, right? The greatest purposes of God are always birthed in mangers. And what does he do now? He chooses Paul when he's one of his lowest states, you know, of his being, you know, when he is in prison, right? When he is literally just being shuttled back and forth by the whim of the political leaders. You know, it says here that Felix, he liked to listen to Paul once in a while, and he would just summon Paul to come, and they would have a discussion, and then he'd send him back, you know, and this happened for 2 years, you know, and he was like a puppy, you know, at the whim. Oh, you know, Felix thinking, oh, Paul's over there. He's a pretty entertaining guy. Hey, bring him over to me. I want to hear some more of these stories, you know, about this sect, about this way. You know, and it would seem like this is not the opportune time, or it's not the status that one would assume, right, to be given an audience of, you know, of the highest men, you know, and women of the city and the political leaders. But this is precisely how God operates. You know, this is precisely how the Lord moves in the life of his people, right? He doesn't take the great, you know, 1 Corinthians, you know, that, I mean, I can't wait till we get to 1 Corinthians, right? You know, so much more material. You know, but 1 Corinthians, when you read that, he says, he has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things to shame the strong, the things that are not to shame the things that are. You know, and this is always how God operates, you know, and so, you know, when we look at our lives, and yes, you should seek to be competent, and you should seek to be successful. You should seek to, you know, to advance, you know, and all these kind of things. But the way the Lord operates, he'll use you whenever he needs to. You know what I mean? He'll use you in the most lowest state of your existence, right? And he'll even use those experiences that you have in the most lowest states, you know, to bring God's presence, to bring God's testimony. You know, he'll take ashes, you know, as Isaiah says, and turn it into something that's beautiful. You know, he'll take, you know, remnants, you know, and refuse in our life, and he'll redeem it, and he'll make it something splendid, right? He'll take even the most painful experiences that you've had in your life, right, and he'll turn it around to be a blessing. Right, Romans chapter 8, right, it tells us that he causes all things, right, for good to those that love him and are called according to his purposes. You know, for me personally, you know, probably, you know, I mean, one of the most painful things probably in the last 10 years of my life, you know, was when my mom passed away, right? Even to this day, you know, if I sit and just think about it, you know, and many of you that are here that has lost loved ones, I think you know exactly what I mean. You get this incredible pain inside your heart. It's a physical pain, you know, and I feel that, you know, and it comes up from your stomach, you know, and it's just this like wrenching, you know, inside, and I still feel these things. And I was in Australia, I think it was last year, you know, and I was speaking at a church there. And, you know, I was just in the parking lot, you know, waiting, you know, in between service, and they're waiting for some things. And I was just in the parking lot, and one of the girls came up and said, "Hey, this is my friend, you know, so-and-so," and da-da-da. And then we just started talking, and, you know, while we're talking, this girl just starts crying in front of me, you know, and I didn't say anything. You know, she started crying, and basically what happened was her mom just passed away, and her mom was also a missionary, you know, and it's very fresh for her, right? And I'm a few years removed now. And I just sat there, and I just shared my story with her. You know, I shared my journey of, you know, of the good parts and the bad parts, you know, and she was just, you know, during the conversation, just bawling her eyes out. But at the same time, you know, I mean, sadness there, but filled with so much hope, you know, filled with something that only God can do in the midst of a horrible situation. Right, and the crazy thing is, he used me, you know, to bring about this hope, even when, you know, we're set in a hopeless situation in many ways. Well, I saw this girl again because she joined the mission team when we were in Adelaide, you know, just a few months ago, and so she came out and totally transformed. You know, I mean, I feel bad. I totally forgot her name, you know, and stuff. And, you know, so I was like, "Oh, hey, hello, who are you?" You know, I was like, "Hey, don't you remember me?" I was like, "Oh, yeah." You know, and I, you know, you do the proverb, "Yeah, yeah, nice to meet you, sister." Because I still don't know her name, right? And things. And so, but she relayed a story. And she said, from that moment that we talked, right, that God just did something in her, you know, filled with hope, right? He can take, you know, your situations. He took Paul's imprisonment. Right, he took Paul when you know, in all intents and purposes, just remember, right, he just finished 3 missionary journeys, right? He planted, you know, so many churches, raised up so many leaders, and now, right, he's sitting in prison, being shuttled back and forth at the whim of, you know, the governor, you know, Felix, Festus, you know, all these guys. They just want to hear something. And, you know, and the pastor says that actually Felix was expecting some money from him. You know, that guy's in prison. What was he got money? I mean, this is crazy. You know, and so he's just being used. You know what I mean? Used and abused. Right? So, yeah, hey, come and tell me some funny stories, Paul. You know, all right, go back now, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, not in a very good situation. But the audience by which God gives Paul to share the gospel with is amazing, right? He can use us in any state of our life, right? He can use us, right, in any circumstance of our life. He can use us when we're high. He can use us when we're low. He can use us when we're in the middle. You know what I mean? He's so much bigger than our situation, right? God is so much bigger than our circumstances, right? And God constantly wants partnership with us. You know, and I guarantee you, friends, right? You look at the most darkest moments of your life. You look at the moments where you feel like, you know what, there is no redeeming value in this experience. There's no, you know, what I went through or these things that happened to me or you know, I did to others. There's no way that God can do something with this, right? And you just watch to see what God does, right? Because he is the redeemer. He's the great redeemer. Right, he's able to take, you know, our joys, you know, I'm sorry, our sorrows, and turn into joy, right? Turn into dancing, our mourning into dancing. Only God has that supernatural ability to do that, you know. And all we need to do is we need to just submit our lives, our experiences, our good times, our bad times, you know. And really, you know, as God infuses hope into those places, to use us for his kingdom. You know, I share this story many times, but, you know, whenever I was thinking about redemption, I always think about this story. You know, I was ministering at this house church. It was actually a college Bible study. It was at someone's house. And, you know, and I had finished preaching, and all of a sudden, you know, there was a young girl kind of sitting down on the floor of the couch, and she cried the whole service, you know. And you know, and I was thinking, you know, I know I'm anointed, but I know I'm not that anointed, right? I was just a simple Bible study, right? And things. And so, you know, I walked up after her thinking, okay, I'm going to pray for her or whatnot. And what happened was she actually just got released from the hospital. She tried to commit suicide because, right, her parents were getting a divorce, you know, and she thought it was her fault. And so, you know, so she comes and she's crying, has no hope whatsoever. And I'm at a total loss for words, you know. I mean, I never try to kill myself, you know. I don't know what it feels like. I can't relate to this incredible hopelessness, You know, and all of a sudden, you know, by the grace, the mercy of God, this older gentleman happened to be sitting nearby in a conversation, kind of overheard our conversation. So he comes over to this girl and sits down right next to her and says, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You'll get over this, right? God's got a plan for your life." You know, typical, right? But the beauty of it, he had more than words, you know, and he says, "When I was young," and he rolled up his sleeves, right, and he had two huge scars, you know, on his wrist. And when he was a young man, he tried to commit suicide. He thought this is it. The world was over. You know, he's just going to give up, you know. And he's able to, with anointing, look at the girl in her eyes and said, "Listen, I got through it. God gave me the strength to get through this. You're going to get through this. God's going to give you the strength to get through this. Let me pray for you," right? And you could see her countenance change. You know, I think that guy was an angel. You know what I mean? I think God sent an angel that day, right? And, you know, and the very, you know, I mean, simple thing is, I think when we're used in that way, when we can take our dirt, you know, our garbage, you know, submit it to God, and then someday, you just wait, someday, God's going to use it for His glory, right? And you know what's going to happen? You're going to look back, and you're going to say, "God, I thank you that I went through that experience. I thank you, God, that, you know, that, I mean, I don't wish this to happen to anyone else, but Lord, I thank you that I went through that, because now I can offer up hope, you know, to others." And God redeems, you know, He redeems, you know, He does it with Paul, you know, He'll do it with you guys. I know some of you guys are going through a difficult time. You know, all different kinds of things are going on with you, with your family, you know, relationally. Listen, you're going to get through it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. God's going to get you through it. God's going to give you the strength. God's got your back. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Right? He loves you with an everlasting love. Right? And you're going to get through this. Right? You know, it's old, you know, passage, but this too shall pass. Right? This too shall pass. And the beauty of the wisdom of God is God's going to use that someday, right, to bring His Son Jesus so much glory, you know, and it's going to be such a reversal in your life that you're literally going to thank God for those experiences. You know, I've had many of those in my life where you know, it's kind of, okay, God, I understand now. You know, not only did those experiences change me, right, and make me the person that I am, right, and you know, discipleship and all those things, but God, you had a greater purpose in that, and I understand now, so thank you. So let's close our eyes today. Especially sometimes when we think we're the most unusable, you know, when we lost our credibility, and all right, that's when God is finally given the space to do the impossible. And if you're at a place today, you know, you're discouraged, there's, you know, different things going on in your life, can I invite you to go before the Lord and just submit whatever that is that's going on, just submit it to Him. Lay it at the Lord's feet. And say, "God, I may not understand what's going on. If I'm honest, I don't really like it. I may not understand, but I know that You're going to use it someday in some way. And so, like Jesus prayed, into Thy hands I commit my spirit." Let's pray together this morning. Let's pray. If you are in a place of discouragement or in a place of difficulty, just offer that to the Lord. If you know someone that's in that place, offer them up to the Lord. And let's spend some time this morning and just really pray and submit ourselves to God in that way. Let's pray for our community in need. Our list is actually growing. Let's pray for Hyja's uncle, who's got late-stage lung cancer. Let's pray for Charles Han's dad with esophageal cancer. Pray for Chris's aunt for cancer. And also pray for salvation for aunt. Pray for Alex's dad, the stomach cancer. Pray for Janine, that she just got her test, and everything came out very positive now. And so she finished her chemo, and just pray for strength for her. Let's pray for Matthew Doble's aunt, who has cancer. Pray for my aunt, who's got pancreatic cancer. Pray for Janella's grandma with a gallbladder issue. Kian's mom with cancer. Let's continue to lift up Belinda for complete healing for her. Alan Lunsford, who had a stroke. Meeson's dad, who's got the tumor removed. Katie Chen in her heart. Charles Kim's niece, who's got a tumor. Pray for Vivian's grandfather, who has Alzheimer's. Pray for the Wagners and Connie's aunt with breast cancer. There's a few more that have come up. Let's pray for Rachel, Nan's uncle with lung cancer and salvation, and also her great aunt's cancer and her salvation. Pray for Bonnie's grandfather for his, and his salvation. Pray for Chris Lee over his aunt, who also has cancer, and Jin, her mom, who has ovarian cancer, and they're going to try to treat it with chemo. It's an early stage, and his aunt also has breast cancer, and so let's just really lift them up before the Lord and ask God's hand. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for Mark that his, he would finalize their contract. Pray for Sujin, John Kang, Juhi, Katharina, and Vivian. Let's ask the Lord to provide for them. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission prayer focus. Let's pray for our local ministries. Pray for the churches here in Hong Kong. The Cantonese-speaking churches, the international churches, the ethnic churches. Let's pray for the pastors and leaders and ask God to use them powerfully. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong, Sports Services International, Shanti Ministries, and Masters Beauty. Let's pray for our friends that God will continue to use them powerfully in Yuen Long and Tun Mun and in all over Hong Kong and all the mission trips and ministries that they're involved in. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's lift up all of our kids, Noah's Ark, and the nursery. You know, we've got, 35 plus kids, plus all the babies. And let's just ask God to continue to bless the staff and the leaders and all the teachers as they volunteer. And they would really, love on the kids and just really be a model example of Jesus to them. And let's also pray for our newborn babies, that have come in the world in the last few months. And let's pray for their sleep and especially pray for real grace over the moms, especially the first-time moms, right? I know it's a lot of work, right? It's a rude awakening. And so let's just really lift them up and ask God for strength in their lives. Let's lift up the kids and the teachers and the staff and the moms before the Lord. Let's pray for our office move. We're finally moving in, probably in a few weeks. The 3B upstairs, which is the Sunday school ministry, they're going to move in this Sunday. And then 3A, which is our offices, we're going to move in right around Chinese New Year. And so pray for Projects Asia to finish the work on time. And we can also pray for the Vine. Their office is moving this Saturday. And pray for a smooth move for them as well as they move to Wan Chai and their whole operation now moves. And let's just ask God to really bless this transition time for us, as a church. Let's lift up. And if you could actually pray for me, I didn't really get dressed up for you guys, but maybe I should. But I'm actually speaking today at Projects Asia's. They have a ceremony. I guess it's a Chinese tradition where they usually offer up incense and pray to, the Chinese gods. And, they actually want to do it a Christian way this time. So they invited me to come, and I'm going to teach, just share and pray. And it's a new Lee Theater Plaza in Causeway Bay. It's a huge renovation project they just attained. And so I'll be there this afternoon. So if you could pray for them and us, they're not Christians, but I think they were impacted by this move here and this work and by actually many of you guys, and they want to do it the Christian way now, right? I mean, praise God. And so let's just really pray for that ceremony as we pray for the move as well. Lord, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for the word, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are the great redeemer, God. You are the great physician, Lord. You're able to turn things around, God, in only the way you can. And so, Lord, I just pray and I just bless our congregation, God. I bless the members of our church that are going through different things, God. Some are going through spiritual funks, Lord. Some are going through relational difficulties. Some are going through difficulties in their work. Some are going through difficulties with their health or their family's health. Lord, in all this, God, we know that you're going to turn it around. Somehow, some way, God, that you're going to turn it around, Lord. That's what you do. You're the specialist, Lord. And so would you just bring your grace, God, abounding grace to us, Lord. God, would you speak to us? Give us strength, God, that it goes beyond ourselves, Lord. That not only that we can endure the situation, God, that we can overcome, God, and then, God, bring a testimony forward, God, that will bring glory to your Son, Jesus. And so use us in that way, Father. Redeem, God, all situations, Lord. Thank you, Father. Watch over us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today. Stay warm. I think this is the coldest day yet. You know, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, Saturday, we're still meeting tomorrow morning, right, at 7. So we'll see you guys then.